connecting digital football players for a game by Accolade Software called Legends Football 98. I had to paint each frame of the animation by hand, because 3D graphics weren't advanced enough at that point to be of any help. It was pretty cutting-edge stuff at the time, but a short 6 years later, I was making complex 3D digital sculptures of those same football players for Electric Arts' NFL Street. 3 years later, I was messing around with controllerless systems like the Xbox Kinect and creating 3D graphics for games on the Nintendo 3DS that actually displayed things in 3D without needing fancy glasses. And now I'm working with a group of crazy smart innovators at a company called The Void, where we are marrying VR, virtual reality, with real-world locations. The best way I can describe it is that we are building a digital theme park where you not only play a game, you get to be in the game. It's mind-blowingly cool if I do say so myself, and something I never dreamed about when I was touching up 2D sprites of Jerry Rice on my 386 in 1997. The video game industry goes through big changes every year, but even the most advanced, high-tech, innovative ideas stand on the shoulders of games that have come before. There'd be no Madden NFL if Pong hadn't put up the first sports game on a gaming console. Would we have Grand Theft Auto V without The Legend of Zelda showing us what an open world looked like back in 1986 on the Nintendo Entertainment System? And Forza Motorsport 6 owes a lot to the racing games of the past. In fact, they paid homage in their promotional commercial in 2015, where they showed their realistic-looking Ford GT zipping through pixelated versions of older games like Grand Track 10, RC Pro-Am, Pole Position, and Ridge Racer, just to name a few. A tagline on the Forza Motorsport website claimed, "Every pixel and line of code ever written has been leading up to this moment." I couldn't have said it better myself. The games we play today, as well as the games we will fall in love with tomorrow, promise us hours of enjoyment. Days, weeks, years of fun lie just around the corner. But it is important to take a look back from time to time to get a better understanding of those that came before. So, gamer, put on the old time-traveling helmet. Crank the dial back on the Wayback Machine to a time before the internet. To a time before cell phones and color TVs. Way back to a time before controllers, handheld gaming devices, social media, and even microwave pizza. Let's go back to the beginning. After all, these are not just the games that influenced the game designers of today and tomorrow. These are the games that shaped us all. Pong, 1972. Prior to digging into the chapter, here are a few fun facts you might not know about Pong. Before Atari decided on the name Pong, the game was codenamed Darlene, after one of the early Atari employees. While Darlene is a perfectly fine name, it isn't nearly as fun to say as Pong. Go ahead. I know you want to try it. Pong! Way back in the 1960s, it cost 25 cents to play a game of pinball. Sounds about right, doesn't it? I mean, Pong only cost a quarter, and 25 cents has become the standard to play most arcade games today. Well, do you know what else cost 25 cents in 1960? A gallon of gas. If arcade games jumped up as fast as gas prices, it would cost around $3 to play a single game. When Nolan Bushnell, video game pioneer, hired Al Alcorn, he had no experience in computer games. So Bushnell assigned him the job of creating Pong as a warm-up exercise. Talk about making a good first impression on your boss. Bushnell first got inspired to make video games while making a game called Space War in 1960. It was 12 years later before the official launch of his company, Atari, in 1972. During that time, the world had changed a lot. Russians sent the first human to space in 1961. The computer mouse was invented in 1964. The first portable calculator was invented in 1967, and the first man walked on the moon in 1969. Oh, and the U.S. used the internet for the first time in 1969. Pong wasn't the first digital tennis game, a fact that would later cost Bushnell and Atari a pile of money as they settled a court case with Magnavox for patent infringement, basically copycatting.